Hello there, beautiful creators. This is Kirisha King. By the end of our time today, you will be able to clearly see how freedom from desire is simply non-attachment to desire, which does not actually mean renunciation of desire like is often incorrectly assumed about most spiritual practice. My hope is to, through the following words, encourage you in your yoga practice to take what is in Buddhism called the middle path, since it is the only true path to liberation, and we will discuss why that is very shortly. My goal is to advocate for and encourage mind mastery and refinement as your path to enlightenment, as opposed to clinging to either the extreme of overindulgence or the extreme of abstinence and denouncement that is also focused on and attached to desire, but just in the opposite way than overindulgence. The fact that tantric yoga exists is obviously one clear point to consider when looking at the concept of desire in yoga not needing to be suppressed in order to obtain enlightenment. But basic common sense and a look at human historical behavior also shows us that being obsessed with desire in any extreme way, either by overindulging in them regardless of the consequences, or total renunciation and banning of desire for personal or collective support of ideologies, are both states of consciousness that are clearly attached to desire and therefore trapped and imprisoned by it. The simple fact is that everyday human and earthly experiences and partaking in them consciously can lead to one's absolute liberation and connection with their divine expression. But before one can be liberated through or by these experiences, that person has to be liberated from them. The only way to do this is to remain unattached and neutral, following the middle path at all times, which is why one of the skills that one develops on their journey toward self-realization is the skill of equanimity. A lecherous, unfulfilled, or unfulfillable pleasure seeker is as attached, only in a different way, to the bondage of desire as someone who tries to deny and denounce their or other people's desire adamantly through religious, spiritual, or other means. Think of zealots who devote immense amounts of energy and time trying to prevent themselves and others from experiencing one thing or another that is a part of normal human life experience or even just a part of normal bodily functioning. These people are going to constantly be suffering because their mission is impossible and unnecessary. Torture for the sake of soothing one's clinging to desire solves nothing. Desires are natural and inevitable. Only our attachment to them keeps us trapped. Non-attachment to desire makes us free to master them and enjoy them. Extreme mental or emotional attachments of any kind makes it so that you are controlled by a thing instead of you controlling your response to that thing by having control of your mind, and this only creates suffering. Because of the nature of my second business, on any given day, since I play a supervisory role for one of my clients, I may receive a transfer of an upset person calling in because he or she did not get something that they wanted. Regardless of the reason why a person did not get what they expected or wanted, I have noticed that those who are escalated to me have a certain pattern of clinging to their desires in one form or another, which is why they needed escalation to begin with. The individuals who I speak with under this context will resort to a number of different communication techniques to get their issue resolved. Most people simply try to make their case clear and logical, while others resort to manipulative conversation tactics, bullying, flattery, lies, emotional appeal, reasoning, and a number of different things in their attempt to soothe their dissatisfaction and try to get me to take action that will make them happy. My role is to remain equanimous, neutral, fair, and just, so that I can then do what is right within my power to correct any given situation. In order to perform this role effectively, I neither get attached to my own interests nor attached to gaining the approval of the person who I'm speaking with. I, at all times, practice kindness and fairness and focus on being present in order to fully understand the situation and then to take the right action in that given situation. No one gets special treatment for any reason because I have no favoritism for anyone in particular. And all people are treated in the right way based on the context of their situation. But even when I resolve an issue with fairness and equanimity, if the individual on the other line is still dissatisfied and attached to their desires and stories about their desires, even giving them what they asked for and more cannot satisfy them. How is that possible? I am kind, fair, and I gave them what they requested and more. How is it that they're still dissatisfied? There probably are a number of explanations, but at the core, it is because their issue goes far beyond what anyone except themselves can fix. Their issue is their attachment to either the object of their desire or the feeling or stories that are generated in the pursuit of or lack of ability to previously obtain their desire. And so on and so forth. Some even admit this while speaking to me, understanding that once an issue is resolved, any remaining emotional attachment is something that they will have to work out within themselves. And that's because I have given them my absolute best effort in our conversation, and there is no further action that can be taken to rectify the situation other than what's already been done. Sometimes acceptance occurs over the phone with concluding words or during the span of the time that we spend together working through an issue. But in some cases, acceptance does not come at all. And then the person exerts additional energy on being upset even when the conversation is over. This is the nature of attachment to desires. It takes people who are otherwise professing themselves to be rational human adults, under normal circumstances, of course, and it seduces them into a feeling of dependency on avoiding pain and/or pursuing pleasure of some kind, or toward the opposite, depending on their beliefs, which then causes them to avoid pleasure altogether and pursue pain for some sense of nobility or some illusory promise of spiritual enlightenment or favoritism from who I like to refer to as Santa Claus God. Our brains try to avoid pain and suffering in the future as a natural part of our survival instincts. But if this is done from a place of attachment and fear, what ends up occurring is that this attempt to self-protect in the future creates pain and suffering in the present in the form of worry and any number of negative emotional experiences. As one is anticipating, planning, plotting, analyzing, and thinking about what is to come next or worrying about things in the past, they miss the beauty of the present. If we open up our minds and hearts to the present moment and just become aware of it, walking that straight middle path that avoids attachment to extremes, we are then free to choose where we are going next in our response to any observation or occurrence, and we have more control over our minds and ourself in the process. So, although we cannot predict the future in the sense that we cannot control all of the factors that will affect our actions from the past or present, and we may not know what our karma might create when it encounters the karma of others, if we remain equanimous at all times, we then take the best action in any given moment, or understand all situations in the right way in order to best address whatever comes our way with grace and appropriate action. When we use our minds effectively in this way, we better utilize our life force energy and become more conscious creators and enjoyers of our life experience, as opposed to living in a trance state of conditioned animal desires and responses that have been picked up from living in families, communities, and societies that thrive on attachment to these desires. Always remember that in any given moment, when you feel yourself getting swept into a conditioned response or attached to a desire in one form or another, you have the choice to become present again in your mind and body, and then to look at any given situation from a neutral perspective. This will enable you to maintain mental control and equanimity as you continue to walk your glorious path toward self-realization.